I went to bed late last night and I got up early.
Oh,
So,
this is a great story already.
yeah, so welcome to my awesomeness.
Bed late, up early.
Yeah, combo of late coffee.
Oh, there's more.
Let's
Oh,
finish it
good.
off. Late coffee, maybe a slight nap when I got home from work, short nap. I can't nap for 15 minutes after a week, otherwise I'm shot. I'm done. There's no sleeping that night.
This is a great story, Hemingway.
Yeah. What do you think I should call it?
The old man, the end. Hello and welcome to episode 269 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Vancouver. What is going on in Vancouver, Adam?
It's been nice for a few days, so that's good.
Okay. What
That's it.
else?
That's all. That's all that's going on.
I heard you can't buy a house for less than $10 million in Vancouver right
I
now.
think it's 10.8.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's nothing to do with photography at all.
Yeah.
But, I'm just saying, I wish I already owned like 12 houses.
Yeah, me too. I wish I
Yeah.
had 12 houses.
Looking back, I don't know what it used to cost to buy a house if you could get one for like $500 down. I should have bought them, rented them out, and then sold them all at a profit now.
Yeah, I kind of wish the same about when the American dollar, when our Canadian dollar was over par with the
Yeah.
American dollar. I wish I put all my money into American dollars at that point.
I was going to. I'm not, say I was going to. I wanted to. And then it seemed like a hassle.
Yeah.
And then I didn't.
Yeah.
And here I am. So I guess what I'm saying to you is investment advice. If I could give you some investment advice, Adam,
Okay.
write
All
this
right.
down.
Yeah, I'm ready.
You buy it, whether it's a house, stocks, money, whatever it is, you buy it low and you sell it high. That's the bottom line.
Oh, okay. All
Yeah.
right. Thank you.
Yeah. Versus my investment advice of just letting it wither away at 0% interest in the bank.
Right.
That's the move. Zero. Zero
Yeah.
percent. Come on now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, that's enough. That's why we're doing a podcast, and I'm not flying around in my private jet.
But Amazon.
Amazon is helping me get work towards that private jet.
Yes.
Yeah, we're pretty.
Someone bought a plastic version of a private jet, I think, on Amazon. Click
Ooh.
and click through our site.
Right.
No, I made that up.
Okay.
They didn't.
Oh. Well. Wonderful.
Okay.
It's cold here. If it makes you feel better.
Yeah.
It wasn't. It was nice, and then all of a sudden got cold.
Okay.
I got back just in time. I drove. I was down in Italy.
Wow, world traveler.
World traveler. I know it sounds awesome. Like, yeah, it's popped down to Italy, cut through Austria, drove to Italy. That's how I do.
You're going to tell us why, right?
I'll tell you why later. This is
Okay,
going to be part of
keep
the
us
show.
ha keep keep us keep us hanging the slow build.
I think people know by now, but
Really?
maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think you're overestimating.
Yeah. The level of caring that people have.
Yeah, the care factor.
Yeah. I'm surprised if any of our listeners know who I am. That's always exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, but that was nice. I mean, that's the kind of the cool part about living here, which I don't do all the time. I don't just drive to different countries for no reason. Yeah, drove through Austria and the Italian Alps to get there, and pretty picturesque.
Did you take photos?
No.
Did you take a camera?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought about taking photos because you get on some of these shots when you come through and you see the Alps, or like you see the Zugspitze, the highest peak in Germany. It's pretty cool. Like it make nice shots, but on the highway, they don't really make. It's not like driving in the interior of British Columbia where you can pull over if you want to. here where you're driving, they kind of don't want you pulling over.
Okay, so there's no shoulder.
Oh, absolutely not. No, no shoulder. The pullouts are generally like rest stops that have restaurants and gas stations in them, so they're not tremendously picturesque themselves, nor do they offer, you know, stunning vistas.
Right.
You kind of have to seek it out. And I wasn't really on a leisurely drive. I was looking to get back home, you know, get down there. And then when I was coming home, I just wanted to get home because I'd heard there's snow coming and I kind of wanted to beat the snow through the Alps, which I did.
Okay. Well, that I'm glad you made it.
But Italian drivers, they're nuts.
Okay.
They drive like maniacs. The speed limit, just a suggestion, evidently. Right. And I don't know, I've seen enough Burt Reynolds movies where, you know, if you're a foreigner driving somewhere and you get pulled over for doing, you know, 51 and a 50, you're going to jail, right? In the movies.
Okay, yeah.
So I didn't want to push my luck with the German plates in Italy, and so I kind of try to obey the speed limit. But the people behind me, like, you know, they're all, like, basically right on my bumper, going through my back pockets, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. And finally, I'm just like, go past. Like, and we're talking like tiny little roads. The car barely fits on the road. We're in the middle of nowhere. We're the only two cars on the road and just, you know, tailgating the whole way.
So, awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. Good for you, Italy. Photo stuff.
Tell us.
We talked a little bit last week. We didn't get into it too much about the dolphin selfie people in Argentina.
Okay, yeah.
We talked briefly about it. Well, it turns out another incident this week.
Okay, this is a thing now.
Evidently, aquatic life selfies are the thing. They want to call it ALS, but that's already been taken.
All right.
So, evidently, some dude ripped a shark out of the water in Florida. Is it Florida? You saw the video, right?
Yeah, I don't know where it was, but most weird stuff like this happens in Florida.
I think we can just go ahead and assume it was Florida.
Yeah, let's assume Florida.
So the guy pulls a 5-foot, I think it was a black tip shark out of the water. Someone had snagged on a fishing line. He pulls it out of the water to grab a photo with it.
Oh, I think it was several photos.
Oh, yeah. Well, you have to. At that point, you're pot committed. You have to get in there.
Yeah. Yeah, like, he was doing the George Costanza like on the couch pose too. Like it was
he
got
was doing
awkward.
Some dude war. He got some dude war with the shark.
Yeah, it got awkward for sure.
So what are your thoughts on this? There's outrage. What do you think?
Another reason that I hate people.
Okay.
Just a marked example. I mean, no, I just, it's just utter stupidity. That's all I can say. I'm not going to invest a whole lot of time in the hate, but clearly this is an idiot. This is just ridiculous. Yeah.
So, now, if you
I'm not an aquatic life, what would you call it?
Apologist?
Yeah, campaigner. but this is just, people, somebody being very stupid, and I blame the people standing around to take photos just as much as I do the guy who's pulling the shark out. Like, they're all morons, right? Like, in my opinion, like, this, the whole thing is completely moronic.
It could have gone sideways pretty quickly.
Absolutely, it could have.
I wish it had. I wish that was a video of a dude in a man bun with a shark stuck to his face.
Yeah,
that would be rad. Now that would be a rad video, as the kids say.
Yeah, it's not cool. Are you gonna post the link or something somewhere? So
no, people can find it. Trust me, they can find this link.
All right, it's funny that, like, I mean, in my general walks of life, I don't come across this stuff. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if this is the kind of thing that shows up on the news. I don't really watch the news. I don't really go for the clickbait on the interweb, as they call it.
Mm-hmm.
So I miss a lot of this stuff. So thank you for enraging me, for bringing this to my attention.
See, I was not outraged at all.
Really?
I just thought this guy was, well, I mean,
I'm not outraged. I'm just mad at people. It's just like I say, I'm going to sleep tonight.
Yeah. Well, not like last night.
That's true, yeah.
Although that probably didn't make it into the... Oh, that made it into the... Yeah,
maybe
okay.
It did. I will sleep tonight.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't that angry because I thought about it. I think I was more angry at his lousy beard and man bun. I think that's what is enraging people, is that this hipster guy was doing it. Not so much, but because I think back to, you know, would I have done this when I was 19?
He looked
too old to be doing this, for one.
Yeah, he wasn't 19.
He looked like he's probably 33.
Yeah.
Definitely too old. But when I was 19, would I have done this?
Maybe you would have.
It's a coin toss. I'd like to say I wouldn't, but I'm going to honestly, it's a 50-50.
Yeah.
But I was stupid.
Yeah, I would have been too scared to do that. But on the stupidity level, I may have attempted it. But I just think in this specific example, I would have been too scared.
So I'm wondering, was it his camera? Like, did somebody else have his camera? Like, here, man, hold my camera. Get a shot of me wrestling the shark.
Yeah.
If so, if it was just some stranger, I think it was me, I would have accidentally dropped his camera in the surf.
I'm mad at technology, and I think that's part of why I don't like these videos, is that I'm mad that in this specific video, there's probably... The guy pulls the shark out. I don't know that any of these people actually know each other. But there's at least three females with cell phones taking pictures and video. There's one, maybe two. I just watched it quickly. Two guys with SLRs taking pictures. And then you're obviously seeing the video of all this happening from somebody else with their cell phone. So this is the part that sort of, I don't know, scares and angers me all at the same time. Is like, what are we doing here? Like, yeah. it's insane, right?
No,
like,
but the person who actually taped or shot the whole wide shot, I'm on board with that person. I would be that guy.
Yeah, I'm not really, because I mean, they're just basically like trolls on the internet. They just want to, you know, put up a video that's gonna anger people. Like, so I'm not really on board with that person, but I'm not on board with any of them.
But what if you're there and the shark bites him in the neck and you don't get that on camera?
I'd still be okay with that.
What? Oh man, you want? I don't even care about sharing it. I don't care about the fame, the infamy you would get from being the shark neck shooter. Just the fact that that would be awesome at parties,
right?
You know, here, man, check out this guy's neck. That's a shark stuck to it.
Right.
Land shark.
Yeah.
Like Chevy Chase would have to come in and narrate that clip for you.
Yeah. I have something else that I can bring up. I just thought of this at the time because I don't want to burn any more calories on these guys on the
on Is it
the
shark video. Shark related?
It's not shark related at all. It is photography related.
Okay, go.
This is a photography show, right?
Not yet, but okay.
Okay. Went to my kids' assembly this week. They had, like, I don't know if they do it there, but here they have a big anti-bullying day. So, you know, a lot of the schools across Canada do this. So they have, you know, they wear pink shirts, and it's basically all about, you know, trying to advocate for the fact that bullying is wrong, right?
Right.
So they have assembly, and this is, again, going past the bullying part, but they have an assembly. And they did a flash mob, and Jack's class was part of this big flash mob where they got up and did a big dance routine, and they've been practicing it for months. And you know, most of the people know that this is going to happen right at the beginning of the assembly. So both Lisa and I went, and we kind of worked it into our work day to make sure we were both there. And right before it's going to start, a lot of people pull out their cell phones and their cameras, and they're all getting ready to record. And I said to Lisa, I said, are you going to record this? And she said, no, I want to be in the moment. I don't want to, you know, be behind the camera. Mm-hmm. And my instinct would probably have been in the past to, you know, basically take a video, show my parents, show her parents to kind of be that guy, especially because she wasn't going to be it. And I said, yeah, good idea. I'm not going to either. I can't believe how much I appreciated it, like the actual performance, not mm-hmm. not being behind the video, so much so that after the first like 15, 20 seconds, like it was so good, so well done, and Jack was so good that I nearly shed a tear. It was welling up. I almost shed it. I really did my best to suck it back into my tear duct.
Because you didn't want to be bullied, right?
I didn't want to be, exactly. It was anti-bullying. I didn't want to be bullied. Yeah. But I'm just saying that would have never happened. That sort of emotional kind of experience that I had watching would have never happened if I had just clicked the video thing and I was watching it through the video.
Nice.
So I just thought, again, personal experience that way. I can't say I've ever even, I've never watched anything with my kids to this point other than maybe them being born and kind of felt that sort of emotional feeling, but again not switching on the camera, kind of a good move there. So there's my advocating for the photography podcast right now. Don't turn your camera on.
Yeah, this is Molson Canadian saying, you know what, you've drank too much already. Yeah. You're good, put it down. Okay.
Yeah, so time and a place. And then I thought, how many of the people with their cameras on kind of missed that, right?
All of them.
Yeah, so there you go. I didn't tell Jack, because both Jack and Sarah have basically Jack told me on my way to the assembly, he's like, tell mommy not to cry. That his exact words.
Wow.
And I said, you know, why'd you say that? He's like, well, she comes and watches us do stuff like this. She always cries. And for me, my kids have said, like, Dad, how come we've never seen you cry? Right? They've never seen me cry. And, you know, Sarah's 8 and Jack's 6. And I said, I don't know. I don't know. I just, one of those things that emotional gene doesn't register the same with me. But like I say, got pretty darn close at the dancing assembly. Yeah.
But you fought it off, though.
I fought it off, yeah. Well, Lisa didn't really look over. I did kind of do a quick kind of shoulder wipe on the eye move. So, yeah, I don't think it counts. I don't think it actually counts as crying.
My kids have seen me. My daughter has seen me cry once. I had to fake it. I had to fake cry for her. Because at our old apartment, because we were up on the second or third floor. Second? Yeah. It's numbered differently here. We're two floors up. So it's a long way down. We had a patio. Well, when my daughter was like 1.5, she figured out how to climb up over the safety railing and one day just yelled, "Hey, Daddy!" And she was sitting up on the railing hanging out over like two stories up on this over the cement.
Right.
And I got her to come back in. Holy cow, please climb back in. I got her in safely. And she didn't understand how dangerous it was. So I had to basically show her how scared I was by crying.
Okay.
So that she wouldn't do that again.
And that worked?
Yes.
Oh, I would have made you cry again.
Yeah, but like, this is awesome. Telling all your friends at kindergarten, "Hey man, check it out. This ain't make Dad cry. I washed his car with a bunch of rocks." Great. Yeah, yeah. Good times. I just found out today. Here's a beauty. The kids in my kids' kindergarten, they're doing class photos.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd said, you know, like last earlier in the year, "Oh yeah, when it comes time to do class photos, you know, we'd like to hire Alan to do them." That's me.
Mm-hmm. You're Alan.
Yeah. My wife said, "Okay, yeah, sure, fine." Well, no one got in touch and nothing happened and they just hired somebody else.
Right.
Which I actually don't really care, because I think essentially there's not a ton of money in it. But now it's the part where I actually have to, I kind of have to pay somebody else, which is weird.
That's all. Weird. Okay. Yeah. I have another slight photography tie-in story from this week. These things are just coming up left, right, and center in my mind as I'm sort of, you said, do you have anything photo-related before the podcast started to talk about? And I had nothing until now. All of a sudden, there's another thing. I did a...
It's like you opened up the floodgates to your tears.
Yes. No, this is not related to that, but I did a slideshow for Jack's hockey team. I'd taken a bunch of pictures throughout the year. I had pictures of every kid. You were having the year-end party, and nobody asked me to do it. I just kind of thought...
Wait, isn't it February?
What's that?
They're done already?
Well, a couple of the coaches and their kids were going away on holiday. Like, it doesn't end until March, but I don't think everyone's going to be together. So booking rooms in March when hockey ends is pretty tough. So we just had the party a little bit early. in which case, you know, I wanted to do like a little slideshow of the kids. I kind of think it's a nice kind of finale to the year, right? Mm-hmm. So I did the slideshow, and so it's not really about the slideshow per se. So then Lisa works in for the school board, and so we borrowed a projector because we thought, okay, we'll project it up on the wall, and you know, put the file on her computer, got all the AV equipment ready so that we could project it on the wall, and it was this kind of a small room, and she went ahead and set it up, and then when I came upstairs, I sort of looked and sort of thought, okay, that looks all right. It's kind of it's a difficult spot in the room to do it, but there wasn't really a lot of options to project it on the wall. Mm-hmm. And then one of the dads was like, well, they have a big screen TV at the one end. It was kind of in a cabinet. We opened up and it had all the AV attachments. He said, well, why don't you do it there? It'd just be easy for everyone to see. And I thought, makes some sense. It wasn't a good location. It was a nice big, probably 55-inch, LCD TV. So we hooked it up, and this is, the kids are having pizza. There's no rush or anything, but we hooked it all up, and then there was no remote for the TV, so you had to go by the buttons on the TV. Mm-hmm. So of course you could get it on, right? But somebody, whoever had used it for the VGA terminal or whatever that plugged into that that worked for the computer, had already zoomed in the aspect ratio.
Right.
Or stretched it out or something. So I put the display up.
Because they had done a 4x3 presentation and thought, well, I'm not going to waste the screen.
Yeah, whatever it was. I put up our presentation, and right off the bat, I knew. I'm like, it's stretched. Mm-hmm. And so I could see that, you know, the letters were stretched. I went to the first image, it's stretched. And here's the difference between photographers and just, you know, everybody else who didn't put in the work, who didn't take the pictures.
And mere mortals. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's fine. It's fine.
It's not fine.
Yeah.
Don't tell me it's fine. You know how I know it's not fine? Because I'm looking at it and it's not fine.
Yeah. They're like, oh, it's not that noticeable. I'm like, what are you talking about? Right?
If it was fine, would we be having this conversation?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. And the best part is, the guy's telling me, is like, well, it's the same as what's on your computer screen. I'm like, well, no, it isn't, right? No, it's not. This is not stretched, and this is stretched. He's like, well, can't you do something on your computer? I'm like, no, it's got nothing to do.
Yeah. Why don't you go stand in the hall? I don't want you watching this.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm gonna go in. And I'm gonna delete all the photos of your son. I don't want you tarnishing this.
And Lisa looked at me, and she kind of knows me, right? So she's like, you're not happy, right? And I said, no, I'm not happy. And she's like, can you fix it on the TV? I'm like, no, you'd actually need the remote. There's no way to get into the menu system and change that from mm-hmm. what I could figure out of the little button panel on the bottom of the TV, right? So I had mm-hmm. input, and I had channel, and I had, that's about it, volume and power. So I could not change it. So, and then of course, like the kids see it pop up on the TV, and they're in. They're like, play it. Yeah. They're all chanting in their hands. I'm like, no way. I'm unplugging it. We're setting it back up as the projector, and basically I made them wait an extra 2.5 minutes as I went back to the original setup. And people are like, "Well, why? What were you doing?" I'm like, "I don't even know how to get into it. These images, the TV stretches the images. The end. It's not going to look as good. We're going to do it with the projector." But I'm kind of mad at myself for even entertaining the notion that this would be a better mm-hmm. way. Lisa had already pre-set it up. It would have been fine exactly how she set it up. But I just thought, I'm going to make this easier and make a better viewing angle and blah, blah, blah. Just a giant mistake. And people don't understand aspect ratio.
No, they don't. And and I don't mind that they don't. They don't have to. But they have to trust me that I do.
Yeah.
Okay, you think it's nitpicking. I just think, why would you do it? If you can do it properly, we'll just do it properly. I've been through this many, many times. I used to part of when I would shoot weddings and stuff, part of it would be showing the montage at the wedding.
Right.
Would be part of my package. So I've done a lot of these. And this, every third time at minimum, this pops up. And it's just fine. Just play it. No. You see, I put some effort into making this.
Yeah.
If I didn't, we could just, I could just, maybe set some newspaper on fire, and that could be the show. That would be better. That would be better than what you're talking about right now. And there is one worse. There is one worse. There's a lateral move, I suppose. There's one. The other situation is when somebody else is in charge, has made themselves in charge of setting it up.
Right.
And it's clearly wrong, and you're telling them it's wrong. It's your show, but they're handling, they're the AV club, and they can't figure it out. And they got both remotes. They got the remote for the DVD player, and they got the remote for the TV, and they can't get the proper aspect ratio.
Right.
And you sit and watch them fumble, and you're like, hey, man, like I know exactly what this is. And they're like, no, it doesn't work. No, trust me. And like they have that death grip on the remote. Where I'm like, if you give me this remote within 30, you could hold your breath before you pass out. I'll have this fixed. But no, they are not giving up that remote. And then you end up playing it with like, oh, it's fine. It's fine. Don't even worry about it. It's fine.
Yeah. And that part of it's fine. Like I want it to be fine.
Yes.
It's not in my DNA to let that go though. Like I just,
no.
And again, maybe that's on me, but I feel like if you do the work, you get to do it whatever way you want and nobody can say anything. And if they do say anything, they're the jerks. Fair? Is that fair?
That falls in with anti-bullying week. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, I've been that. I've been, and I've run into it at your brother-in-law's wedding when I would, okay. I played his, and oftentimes, we're going really deep into this, but oftentimes, whenever you set up in a large hall, you don't have enough cable to run the video one direction and the audio all the way to the DJ booth.
Right.
So that's a problem. What do you do? Well, what I used to do is I would burn the audio onto a CD and have the video on a DVD and have it timed. So there'd be like a timer on the screen, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. As soon as the end of the one hit, you hit play on the CD.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, it magically syncs up.
Right.
Because I've done this about a million times. So I'll go and tell. I tell the DJ all the time, hit play and pause on track one. There's only one track. I completely make it so he can't mess this up. I put one track on the CD. Hit play and pause so it says 000, but it's ready to go. So there's not going to be that initial wind-up time. It's just going to go. We're going, right?
Yeah.
Okay? As soon as that one disappears from the screen, you hit play, go get coffee. Go walk away.
Right.
Yeah, they don't do it. And so we hit play once. I don't know if you remember this. That was a long time ago. And the five comes up, he hits play. So I can tell. I always put a little bit of tone and color bars at the beginning, so that I know if those 3 seconds of color bars and tone don't match up, we stop. We start again. I know it's the rest of it's not going to match up.
Right.
So I know that stop. We go over there, reset. I'm like, okay, dude. Let me repeat myself. I don't want to treat you like you're an idiot, but here we are. Okay. When the one disappears, you hit play.
Got it.
Okay. You're in.
Yeah.
The end. Go over there. Start it again. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. He hits play. Well, the music doesn't pop on right away. So he starts fast forwarding.
Oh no.
And I'm like, well, there's blank screen up. Maybe the blank screen doesn't have it. We're going to have titles come in and then the music comes in over blank and it fades up. Like, trust me, I've put together a show here.
Right.
And oh, I didn't hear the music, so I fast forwarded. So now we're in the middle of, I don't know what it was, Eye of the Tiger or something like that, and not even just said. So why don't you just go take five? I'll run your DJ booth, yeah. Which I ended up doing.
I don't remember any of this. I don't remember the misfires on the video. Remember the video. I remember the video was good, but I don't remember the misfires.
Yeah, it was there.
Partly because I wasn't in charge, and I may have been drinking.
You know, so was I. I was both, but I was so So this comes up, and that's great. If you don't know any better, pipe down. That's all I'm saying. Don't tell the guy who did this that it's fine. It's not fine. I will tell you when it's fine.
Okay. All right.
The end. Wow, you got me fired up. I gotta go.
Struck a nerve.
Oh, so many times. Photo challenge was fence.
Yes.
All right, let's have a look at your photo challenge this week. That is, Now, is your wife the fence? Is she selling stolen stuff like we talked about last week?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Tell me about the shot here.
Fence.
Okay. There's a fence. There's your wife playing some baseball.
Well, I basically wanted kind of like, you know, we've been seeing a lot of baseball ads. Spring is in the air around here. So I thought, oh, baseball. And I thought, you know, Al always has baseball shots. I'm going to do a baseball shot. Jack was supposed to be the model, and he basically was trying to bribe me, and I wasn't having any of it. So Lisa said, I will do it. I will be the model. And I said, all right, you're a baseball player then. And we posed her by the fence. The end.
So he was trying to bribe you how?
He wanted, I can't remember what he wanted, but he wanted, I'll do the photo if you do whatever. I don't remember what the whatever was.
Uh-huh.
And I just said, you can't buy me right now. I'm using your mother. And he said, fine, see ya.
Oh, no.
Yeah, he pulled, he big-timed me.
Well, okay.
Yeah. So Lisa, I just, to be honest, I just liked the pose. Like I liked, we've talked about posing in the past and, you know, sort of, I just like the angles, the curvature here and, the way she's kind of leaning. It's, I told her to not smile. I thought it went with the, motif of the mirrored sunglasses and, yeah, and then just basically tried to create a little bit of depth with the fence that we have right out front. I kind of like the fence because it's got some little bits of greeny mossy bits in between, like the edges of the fence part behind her, and then it's got some neat tones and some texture to the foreground fence. And so I kind of tried to make the fence a big player in this image, which I think comes across. Could have probably shot a little bit more out of focus. It's the 50 mil though. So 50 mil in the tight spot, I think on about an F2 or 2.2 or something. So this is just what you get. It's hard to get from this distance to your subject with a 50 mil lens, a whole lot more out of focus. So if I shot this with the 85, I probably would have got closer to what I actually was going for, but, quick snapshot. Didn't take long. So
good. Yeah. I don't know what I like more. I like the fact that she's playing baseball in her Eric Estrada sunglasses and wristwatch, or that she's wearing both her glove and holding a bat at the same time.
That's I thought you'd like that. I was like, no, she's ready. She's ready to go to the park and play baseball.
No, she is. Absolutely.
Yeah. She's gonna hit and she's gonna field.
No, there's no question there that she can go whichever direction.
Yeah, you don't know offense, defense,
baseball. Taking baseball posed photos is no easy task, which I obviously have to do quite often, because it's like, how much of the bat do you include? How do you show it? Like, how do you show that they're using their glove? It's a really hard thing to pose for and make it look natural, or, you know, so this is actually very good job of doing that. Like you include the bat nicely and the glove, and so, yeah.
That's good it. Job. That's all I got. Yeah.
That's it. Okay. All right. Let's have a look at mine. It's a black and white one.
Black and white. Okay, I'm looking at it.
All right. That's me and my son.
Yep.
On a fence.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna look.
Neither of you look very happy.
No, we're old-timey.
I got that it's old-timey.
We're old-timey. You have to sit still when it's old-timey, and you can't smile, because things were tough back in the Dust Bowl. haven't you ever seen, I wish I could have spit it out right now, Grapes of Wrath? Huh?
Yeah.
I'm John Steinbecking you here. Look at my son with his coveralls. That's John Steinbeck.
I like the wide shot better.
Yeah, so do I, but not at 800 pixels.
Oh, okay.
Which was the issue. So I'm glad that's why I posted both, because
I like the color. I think that the color makes it more German-like.
Oh, I wasn't going German. That's a Stomper 4x4 in the background.
Yeah, I know, but it's the red roofs and the this looks like Disney World's depiction of Germany.
Uh-huh, the German Dust Bowl.
Yeah, and just like, you know, Dust Bowl! You get the kind of wood everything really more so than when you get it in black and white. I think you lose that. Again, I really like the white and the black and the red. Like, it's just, for me, I get what you're going for, and the old-timey part comes through certainly more in black and white, but the I think it's a better image in color. So that's just my two cents. I like the fence. It's a unique fence for sure. This is kind of one of those photos where there's too much try for me to look old timey.
Okay.
Yeah. You tried too hard
to make the old timey part was the least of the trying.
So how did the outfits become a part of this? Like your outfit, you decided this is what I'm putting on today?
No. I put it on for the photo.
Right. That's what I'm saying. You tried. Yeah. You tried for this.
Oh, yeah, but the old-timey part, okay, I see what you're saying in that respect. Well, I wanted it to kind of match, except for the Stomper 4x4s, which they're really out of place.
Yeah.
No, this is my son's little farmyard, little play farmyard thing that he has, and that was passed down from generations of here in Germany.
Okay.
And then I threw in the Stomper 4x4s just for fun.
Yeah.
And then built the fence. My dad built those little fence pieces for him to play with.
Yeah.
And so I built the little yard up there, and those are his little toy animals, the horse, the cow, the sheep. The other ones were much, much too big. Those are also already big enough. So I threw those in there, lit it up, and then obviously shot us in a separate shot.
Yeah.
And cut the background out and threw us in.
But no green screen, like blue wall, or what'd you do here?
No. I didn't have that, and so I paid the price.
A little bit more Photoshop work.
Yes, a little.
And what about the shadow? Because the shadow looks real. The one on the floor.
I completely added that. That's just made up entirely.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. So that was actually the hardest part. Not the hardest part. It actually didn't take very long at all. Hardest, but not the most time intensive. The most time intensive was cutting the edges out.
Right. You did a good job of lighting to simplify the part of the shadow making that you were going to have to do.
Right.
Do you have that specifically in mind that you knew if you side lit it, that it was going to be much easier when it came to making the realistic shadow on the floor?
That was part of it. That was definitely part of it. I definitely thought about that. I also kind of wanted it to be kind of like a low sunlight, which it isn't really, but I made sure that basically when I went to light my son and I, like I shot the scene on the floor first, and then all I did was raise those lights up, and then pull that stuff out of there, and we stood there. He sat on a table, and a box on the table to get him up high enough, and just to create the right perspective, and then we snapped that photo in the exact same place, so the lighting would be the same, and then cut the edges out. Shrunk us down, plunked us in, and then fudged that photo in, the shadow in.
Let me tell you how good a job you did at the Photoshop. My first minute of looking at that photo, and not 5 seconds, minute, is I thought, where the heck did they go that they have this kind of setup, right? And then I clued in. I wouldn't have clued in if I didn't see the Stomper 4x4s.
Yes.
And then I thought, I'm like, no, but if not for those Stomper 4x4s, I would have asked you, where the heck is this place? This I want to go. This looks awesome.
Oh,
there's
no
giant wooden horses.
Well, had I known, I would have left those out. Now I didn't. I didn't think I would tromp de oule quite like that.
Yeah, you totally did. You fooled me. And then, like I say, if not for the 4x4s, I'm like, no, wait a second. I don't think those cars are real, and they wouldn't fit. If you went to this special German wooden farm, I don't think they would have those there. And then I thought, oh, it's Photoshop. But that, like you say, that the shadows really is where it adds that realism. If the shadows aren't there, this looks fake right off the bat. But just that little detail. So anybody out there who plans on Photoshopping and fooling people, make sure you do the shadowed work.
That's the key. And there were shadows in the wide shot of me, like the shot of me and my son, but they fall on that floor, and like I can't cut and paste that. So I have to create that shadow from nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically it's drawing in some black, a couple layers with just some black lines, and then erasing it to shape it to how you want it, and then adjusting the levels, like the opacity of that level. because you still want to see a little bit of the floor behind, like you do with the shadows in behind. And then there's a little bit more to it than that, where you have to kind of dodge and burn a little bit.
It's art. There's definitely an artistry to it. I remember, like, years ago, the first time I did anything like this, I did a birthday invitation for Jack, and I wanted to make him, like, it was an Alvin and the Chipmunks party. I think he was turning 3, and I wanted to put him in the middle of Alvin and the Chipmunks band singing on stage, and so I had a picture of him singing, which I cut out, and then all the other characters, it was a white background, and they had shadows, and clearly when you plunk them down there, it's like, we'll know that that looks totally fake, and where I spent all the time was exactly recreating the shadows to match the other characters. And then, just like you say, that little bit of a detail instantly is like, wow, like all of a sudden it looks like he's actually really standing there. So that's key if anybody does this kind of thing. Shadows are super important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There you go. All right, that was the photo challenge. This week's topic is my trip to Italy.
Okay. Do we have time for that?
I'll squeeze it in.
Okay. All right. Let's hear about your time in Italy. Why'd you go? What happened here?
Oh, I got ended up working some more on that documentary. Last September, you'll recall, I went to the Goodwood Festival and worked on that 24 Hours of Le Mans documentary with that Adam Carolla was producing.
Right. This was your big moment in the sun to...
well, I hope not, but okay.
Big moment in the sun to stay at the house with Adam Carolla and his people.
Sure.
Yeah, well, this is a shining moment for you.
I hope not.
Well, you got mentioned on his podcast as Alan.
Yeah.
Well, you're a big deal.
Okay. Well, I'll take that to the grocery store and see if they'll feed my kids. Don't think so.
All right.
No, it was exciting. No, I'm not saying it wasn't. I'm not saying it. I'm hoping it wasn't my big moment in the sun.
No, I'm pretty sure that was it.
Yeah, great. Well, awesome. It's all downhill.
It's all downhill now.
But so we shot a bunch of drivers over there who were involved in 24 Hours of Le Mans in the 60s, which is what the movie's about. And the movie's called The 24 Hour War, or just 24 Hour War, I think. There's no the.
Okay.
So it's a documentary about Ford battling with Ferrari for supremacy at the Le Mans, 24 Hours of Le Mans in the 60s.
Okay.
And so they're back. So the director, a guy named Nate Adams, was coming back to Italy to interview a few people on the Ferrari side of things, because he was trying to lock down an interview with Enzo Ferrari's son, Piero Ferrari, to talk a little bit about that. And so they locked it down, and they were coming back. And so I was hired to come down and be a second cameraman on that shoot, and... all kinds of stuff. Same as I did at the Goodwood Festival. All kinds of jobs, which is how you do it on a small small shoot.
Okay.
So that's what it is. So I drove down to Modena. That's where he was born. Enzo Ferrari was. At first, I didn't know if it was, you pronounce it, is it Modena? Is it Modena? And they said, no, it's Modena. Neither of those. So that's how you pronounce it. So we went to Modena and a place called Maranello, where the factory is.
Okay. This is the Ferrari factory.
The Ferrari factory, yes. Yeah. The Ferrari factory is in a place called Maranello, which is kind of in the middle of nowhere. And so we went down there. And when I first took the job, that was the funny part that struck my wife. I said, yeah, I'll definitely go. I'm going to drive down, because they're flying in from Los Angeles. And like, it was just Nate and then a guy from England, a guy named Kevin. Who flew in, with whom I recorded a podcast with in the last night, but he had a couple of pops, so we may not be able to use it.
Okay.
It may make no sense at all. We'll have to see. So I got to, you know, I picked him up at the airport in Bologna, and then basically drove, you know, I was with the driver for the week, or for the 4 days or whatever it was. But at first I told my wife, yeah, I got this job, I'm going to go down, and that was no problem. But her and her mom just could not believe I would drive that far. How are you going to drive that far?
How far?
7 hours. That's what I said. Yeah. It's like, well, I'll probably stop for a couple nights. I mean, you know, I'll drive 2 hours.
Break it up, right?
Yeah, no, let's not be crazy. I'm not going to 7 hours. That's 7 hours on paper. It actually took 9 to go down there because of some traffic in Italy.
Yeah.
But it was fine. Okay. So, but it worked out. Picked him up at the airport. All the gear fit in the car. That's the main thing. All the camera equipment fit in the car and three of us. So anyway, so Enzo Ferrari, he was born in Modena, moved the factory to Maranello.
Tell me something interesting.
Okay, well, I got to meet Ferrari's son.
Cool.
Which I thought was kind of cool. Yeah, he's...
Did he give you a Ferrari?
He gave us nothing.
Oh.
Which was a little... Yeah. Because the other part, like part of the documentary, I'm not sure if it was this documentary or the last one they did, the one they did about Paul Newman, they interviewed the director of Cars, mm-hmm. from Pixar, a guy named John Lasseter. Name ring a bell? No?
Yeah, the name rings a bell, yeah.
Oh, okay. So they interviewed him, and then he said, oh, yeah, they gave us a huge Pixar gift bag. It was awesome. And so Ferrari gave us nothing.
Okay.
I was hoping for, you know, you'd take the Ferrari for the test drive, but that they that's around $1,000 for the half hour or something like that.
Yeah.
So people are doing it, though.
Yeah, people are just taking them for test drives.
Yeah. Yeah, you could do it. It's part of the whole package. I mean, I think the whole reason to go to this town, like we stayed in Maranello, and that's, I think it's Ferrari is all that's there. The factory's there. There's a museum is there. The whole Ferrari experience. Everything is Ferrari, Ferrari, Ferrari. And so people come in and stay at the hotel. It's a whole package. You get to go to the two different museums because there's two of them, of course. And then... and then take a test drive too. So, but that gets very expensive.
Okay.
But
so give us some of the photography, you know, little nuggets that you got from. is there anything photography? Did you shoot some stills? Did you do anything photography related?
Sure. Yes. Matter of fact, I did. Like I'd forgotten because I was shooting second camera and a lot of B-roll stuff. Which B-roll is like if you're shooting in an interview with somebody. And you know you shoot their talking head for like an hour, and you want to cut something together. Well, you don't want that jump cut, mm-hmm. so you cut away to something else. Like whatever they're talking about, you cut away to that.
Okay.
And so that covers up, and so you have the first minute, you have the last minute to put it together, and to cover that jump, we see a shot of let's see a car that he's talking about.
Yeah.
Well, so I had to go shoot a lot of B-roll stuff at the museum of these very famous cars that had won at Le Mans and stuff like that. And I'd forgotten how difficult it is to make just motionless cars look interesting in video.
Okay,
like
so?
Stills I can do it. Like stills, that's what I was saying, because here's the cars that are in present day, 2016, up on blocks in a museum, well lit. I have to shoot this car in a way that it looks like it's not on blocks, that it's at a racetrack somewhere in 1966.
Mm.
And do it quickly. Oh, and it's not moving, and there's nobody in the shot, so you can't even have someone reach over and grab the gear shift or something like that. It's just, here, make this interesting.
Right.
Which as a still, you can do. You can take little close-up shots. Oh, and you can't take a wide shot because you'll see that you're in a museum.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to kind of shoot the little snippets, like the on the hood. You know, there's the little for a prancing horse, or you know, or the horse on the grill, or the gear shift, like the little bits of the car that you have to go and shoot. But you have to make it a motion picture. It can't just be a still.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really, you know, you pull focus or maybe pan over stuff like that. You don't want to zoom because zooming looks terrible. You mm-hmm. never use those in movies. So that was no fun. And then in the middle of shooting one of the cars, the museum goes dark, and they show a movie. Like they show a movie on the huge wall, and so everything's pitch black. So I just sat back and watched the 10-minute movie, which was awesome.
Yeah,
it was like 10-minute movie about Ferrari in the movies.
Oh, you should have just videoed that.
I don't think they wanted us to do that.
Put a cam version up on the web.
Yeah, it was awesome. I when I got home, I looked for that video, and I can see the teaser for that video online, but I can't find the actual video itself. I thought it might be up on YouTube or Vimeo or something as part of their marketing, but evidently not. And it's awesome. Like, it really is a surprise. It's well done. But all the different times that Ferraris have been used in movies cut together and in a great little, you know, sizzle reel, it looked really, really cool. So we did that. And then later that day, we went to the factory. And when we're getting set up to shoot, you know, Enzo's son, Piero Ferrari, who's, I think he's 80. Got to be 80, 81, something like that. Maybe 70. Maybe 70.
Sure.
I didn't check his driver's license. I just trusted it was him. Might not have been him. Who knows? But that was fun. So we went into like the area of the factory where they restore classic Ferrari. So that was what was going on. So we ended up shooting in a glass office so that you could see into the factory, but still like had good sound.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that. Just to backtrack a little bit, I did end up taking some stills of the cars because at some point I realized these videos are just like I can't make this into a motion picture, right?
Right.
So, and also the building that this is in used to be Enzo's dad's factory. His name is Alfredo Ferrari. And he wants to, you know, it's mentioned a lot in the movie about the factory. And so the director, Nate, wants to cut to the factory. But it shouldn't look like 2016. It should look like it was in 1917 or whatever it was.
Right.
But there's, you know, modern buildings all around it. There's benches. There's all kinds of stuff. So I ended up taking a bunch of stills so that I could Photoshop out the modernity. I think that's a word.
Mm-hmm.
And then make the photos look old so that he can actually make them look like he's panning into old, like old-time photos.
Right.
So that's why I ended up taking a lot of the... And even then, I still had to take a lot of close-ups of the windows, the signs, the stuff like that to get rid of all the modern stuff.
Gotcha.
So that was the challenge. But interview went well with Mr. Ferrari, very nice guy. It was just kind of cool to be in there in that shop, and then afterwards, I got my camera set with 70 to 200 because that's what I was shooting the interview with. I shot the second camera with the 5D to match it up with the C300 of the main camera.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as it was done, I said, you know, to Nate, hey, why don't I get a shot of you and you know, Signor Ferrari? He likes to have those, you know, for the promotion. No problem. He was in. Grab a shot. Then the other cameraman, he wants a shot, he jumps in, so I fire away. And this is a professional cameraman. Good guy, knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
So he says, oh, you want one too? I was like, oh, okay, yeah, that'd be great, I'll get a shot with Mr. Ferrari. He was game, but I handed my camera off, and I said to Kevin, hey, Kevin, do you know about back button focus? Oh, yeah, mate, no problem. So then he snaps the photo, and then Mr. Ferrari leaves, and then it becomes painfully evident that he doesn't know about back button focus. And he's like, he comes up to me after, and he goes, hey, what did you mean by back button focus? And I said, oh, I meant blurry. That's what I meant. Do you know how to take out of focus shots? Yeah. Okay, good. So if you look closely, I posted the shot of the shot in question online on our Facebook.
Yeah.
It's slightly soft.
I saw it, and I noticed, but I was like, my first thinking was, it's close enough. You handed the camera off. I knew right away. I'm like, yeah, you handed the camera off.
Well, I had about 3 seconds for the photo. I didn't want to push the guy, you know, push my luck with the guy. He was very nice to sit down. It took a year to get that interview set up as it was, and so I didn't want to, you know, be a jerk about it. So sat down, and I stood up next to him. He wasn't sure, does he put his arm around me? It was all kind of awkward, and then so we fired it off. And then to his credit, Kevin felt terrible. He's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And I said, it's fine. I wasn't going to frame it, you know. I was just going to show people that, yes, I did indeed pull a shark out of the water. That's why I took the photo.
Right.
I did indeed meet Mr. Ferrari in here. So we're good. We're fine. So that went on. And then we shot a couple more interviews. We shot... this will only mean something if you're really into Formula One and Le Mans racing in the 60s and 70s.
I wasn't.
You
I
weren't.
No.
No, but we interviewed the chief engineer, a guy named Mauro Forgieri. He's a pretty cool guy. He has this big giant mansion out in the
Chief
Italian.
Engineer for Ferrari?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so he designed a bunch of the cars, and so he has this giant mansion out in the middle of the Italian countryside, which is pretty cool. Like massive, like it could be a museum in its own right. It's like he had to drive in through gates that he opened and park in the courtyard. I felt big time.
Now, from what I understand, Ferrari, and this is Enzo Ferrari, was not well-liked by many people.
That's the impression that we got as well.
Yeah, and so is that kind of reiterated in the interview with the son? Like, you know, does he look up at his father as kind of this patron saint, or is there a little bit of a history of, yeah, my dad wasn't the most well-liked guy in the world?
Interesting. It wasn't really the subject of the documentary. And so it was kind of danced around, especially with the son.
Right.
Because if you know the story of the son,
the dad had more than one wife, or he...
A girlfriend, like, yeah.
Okay, so the son, yeah, it was unmarried parents and whatnot, right?
Correct. So he kind of came on the scene later. Like
probably,
you know, when he was in his 20s, it was like, oh, all of a sudden people started to recognize that this guy in town looked like Enzo Ferrari. But that was not brought up. That was not part of the documentary. And you know, so Nate didn't ask him about that. And I think he's probably told not to. I don't remember.
Yeah, but, I would imagine so, yeah.
Yeah, so it didn't come up. But I think there was definitely undertones of that. But I think overall people tend to have respect for the guy because, look, you know, what he accomplished and what he built. Because, you know, most people have heard of Ferrari. It's one of the, I think it's the second most known brand in the world, I think they said.
Right.
Like Coca-Cola's first, and then it's Ferrari.
And again, this is going way off topic as far as photography stuff goes. But my understanding too is that the whole thing with Ford and with Lamborghini all had to do with the fact that Ferrari was apparently not so nice to either of those two those two individuals, and that's a big reason why Lamborghini jumped into making supercars and why Ford got into the game as well, because they disliked Enzo Ferrari so much.
That's part of it. Yeah, yeah. I mean, Ford wanted to get into the racing.
Yeah,
on a global level, and that's what Le Mans did for them. So they wanted a shortcut into that because they had lots of money and no racing experience.
Right.
And so they wanted to do that, and then it kind of went south, and that's when the rivalry was kind of born, and that's what the documentary is about, is that rivalry in the 60s. And so I'm not sure if I'm supposed to say it, but here we go. I saw the rough cut of the first half of the movie.
Yeah.
It's good. Looking good. Okay. I say that, you know, because I actually want to work with these people again.
Yeah, you should say that.
But it does. It's looking really good, and it's going to get even better. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing the final thing. And so we had one more interview with Enzo's personal assistant for a number of years. We sat down with him and talked about a bunch of stuff like that, and sort of shaped the movie together. And all in all, it was a great experience. Like, just, I mean, it's not every day you get to just drive down to the Ferrari factory in Italy and go hang out and you know, go behind the scenes and see what's going on and get to work like that. So I was really fortunate to have the opportunity, and I was glad it worked out.
Okay, then.
And here's a shocker for you.
Okay.
Food in Italy, fantastic.
Okay.
Yeah.
Lots of pasta.
Tons of pasta and pizza. Yeah, it was really not so much with the carbs, low-carb diet. Yeah, went to a racing-themed restaurant, of course, because it's Ferrari. In town, that's all you would get. But the food was amazing. Like, it was one of those restaurants, if you walked up to it, if you were in Italy and you just walked past it, you would never go in. It looks kind of like a sports bar from the States. and not what you're expecting. Like, you know, you're expecting a little candlelight, the brick. Nope, not that. But it had been, it'd come recommended to us. We went in, and so here's always what you look out. Here's what here's a good example or a good sign that you're at the right place. When you ask for a menu, and she just says, "Oh, we don't have menus. We don't. We change it up. So we'll just make good stuff."
I like that.
Yeah, and so she said, you know, hey, she, like the waitress, you know, said basically, you know, what do you want? And I said, hey, you're the expert. You bring dinner. I don't care. And so she brought a burger and fries, which I thought was an odd choice.
Like, wait a second. Take up from McDonald's.
Yeah. Filet of fish? What? No. She brought all like this pasta stuff. And long story short, it was fantastic. So it was worth going just for that. But it was so great, this place, despite there being other restaurants in town, we just went there two nights in a row.
Yeah, so that's the way to do it.
Bam. Hey, we're back.
Yeah, if it's not broken, so.
No.
Yeah.
So that's it. Any other questions about going to Italy? Probably not.
No, I got none.
No. Well, look for the movie 24 Hour War. I put a shot of the, I did go to the Ferrari store and buy my son something.
What'd you get him?
A little Ferrari.
Oh.
So the picture's up in the Dropbox. I put it up during the episode, so you have to go back and look.
Okay. Oh, I see it. Nice.
So that's it. Yeah.
Nice. Was that done in your bathtub?
No, I never even thought of that. No, yeah. It's done on my kitchen table.
Okay.
With a that's why I wanted to put it up, because it's actually photo related. I can talk about it quickly. I wish I had picked the hair out of the driver's side door now that I'm looking at it.
Oh, I didn't catch that. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, my son had played with it for all day. He loved it. He loved his new car.
Cool.
But no, this was just a handheld flash, zoomed all the way into 85. With a snoot, a long snoot on it, probably, I don't know, a foot long, and held directly over the camera on a white, shiny white table.
Yeah.
And then on a timer, so I could basically, you know, set the timer off and then hand hold the flash like millimeters out of frame here.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's the image you get, a little spotlight effect with a little bleed off, and then the reflection in the dark table, because the falls off pretty quick.
That's why I thought maybe it was the bathtub, just based on the reflection.
Nope.
Yeah, but it's nice. It looks like, you know, something that maybe you saw in a showroom.
Without the giant hair sticking out of the door.
Yeah, maybe not the giant hair. Or maybe there was a giant in the showroom earlier playing with it.
Could be. Yeah. I'm going to talk to Nate and see if we can work this shot into the documentary.
Minus the hair.
I'll shop that, or maybe I'll reshoot it.
Yeah,
and see if you can work that in, just as a little nod to our listeners when they watch this. I know that one.
Yeah.
So I'll let you guys know. I'll let everybody know when the movie's coming out and how to get a hold of it.
Great.
Challenge for next week.
I'm all out. I did one in a row.
I think the challenge for next week is coming up with an interesting topic.
Okay. All right. And let's throw that one out to the listeners.
Yeah. No, you know what? We talked about aspect ratios earlier.
Okay.
Shoot something square. Shoot a square. Like, the aspect ratio of your image has to be square.
Okay.
One by one. Whatever you want to do within that, go nuts.
Okay.
All right. Websites, Adam, where can people find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca. And great. How about yours?
Find my stuff at AlanAtridge.com, the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find the links and everything you need to know, and those links to Amazon. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.